Reading again tonight the two main verses I'll be preaching on, Proverbs 14 and 34, and Psalm 9 and 17, and I'm going to read also a few verses from Isaiah 5 as well. They will be a side light on the subject, but Proverbs 14 and 34, well-known verse, we began to look at it last week, and it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then it says in the book of Psalms, and the ninth psalm in verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And then I want to read a few verses from Isaiah 5. I read verse 20 to 24. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Amen, and God will bless the reading from his inspired word. The United Kingdom as a nation is no longer a great nation. She is no longer exalted as she once was, but she is a reproach, a shame and a disgrace, because the Bible says, it is righteousness that exalteth a nation. We looked at this last week, of course. Righteousness, justice, truth it means, moral uprightness in government and courts that exalts a nation. And therefore, in the blatant obvious lack and absence of righteousness that we looked at last week, the United Kingdom, biblically speaking, is in the gutter. But the United Kingdom, we went further, according to the Bible, is not only no longer exalted, but she is a reproach. Because the verse in Proverbs 14 and 34 also says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people, any nation. And as God is the definer of sin, he defines what sin is. So we looked at a few of the sins last week of our nation, and we have to admit, it's undeniable, the United Kingdom is saturated, immersed in sin, as God describes sin in the Bible. The worst of sins are common and promoted in our nation. Our national sin, our reproach, rises before the Holy One of heaven. We looked at just some of the national sins last week that are common now in the United Kingdom. We looked at the sin of people saying there's no such thing as sin. The sin of people saying there is no God. The sin of moral perversion taught in primary school. Crime, drunkenness, drug addiction, violence. We looked at the newspaper headline which says the United Kingdom is the cocaine capital of Europe. The drug capital. Murder of the unborn. Experimentation on human fetus. The anti-justice of our legal system. The anti-righteousness. Pro-sodomy in every sphere. The sins of our nation. The animal-like behaviour. The no discipline and correction. And we looked for an extended period of time at the corrupt, greedy, dishonest leaders of our nation. The covetous, proud, disastrous bankers as well. Oh, what a reproach. What a reproach these sins are to the United Kingdom. And that's just some of the sins. But let us come to another area of sin. National sin. And it is very important. Because it tends to be being committed and creeping in without anybody noticing too much. It is to do with the encroachment of the government or the state into areas that are none of the state's business legally. The sin of state control and dictatorship. Our nation is a reproach because of this. Now I'm saying the sin of state control and dictatorship. And I'm going to give you a few examples of where we see this beginning. We see it firstly in the church. The British government says that its new equality bill will force churches to accept practicing homosexuals or transsexuals in the youth worker post of churches or other similar roles. Force. Let me read what the government says. Equalities Minister Maria Eagle said religious believers should push gay rights in their communities. But in the meantime, the state would do it. That's her exact words. If I don't push gay rights in this church, in the meantime, the state will push them in the church. Let me read on. Under the Equality Bill, the government is specifying that protection, there used to be a protective clause, an exemption for churches. But under the Equality Bill, the government is specifying that this protection can only apply to posts that mainly involve leading worship or explaining doctrine. The bill's explanatory note makes it clear that this protection would not apply. It would not apply to a requirement that a church youth worker or accountant be heterosexual. At the weekend, the Government Equalities Minister, Maria Eagle, said that, quote, while the state would not intervene in narrowly ritual or doctrinal matters, it would tell churches what to do in other areas. That's her words. The British state will not interfere with our doctrine, but it will tell churches what to do in other areas. The Christian Institute's Mike Judge said, "The government's own explanation of the bill clearly says churches must accept homosexuals as church youth workers." End of quote. That's the Equalities Minister of the British government, Maria Eagle. "The state will push gay rights in our communities, and the state will tell churches what to do in areas apart from doctrine." Now, what is dictatorship? That's precisely it. The state will not tell churches what to do. The dictator state of Britain, which it is going to become and is already becoming, has no business telling churches what to do and who to employ. That is Stalinism. Communist dictatorship. That's where that's from. Much less has our Equalities Minister, Maria Eagle, any right to tell anybody what to do, because she's a woman that's married to another woman. And she's just claimed £3,500 of taxpayers' money to refurbish her bathroom. But she's going to tell us what to do, of course. She has the morals of a rat, both financially and morally, sexually. A rodent-like morality. There's no other way of describing it, is there? The dictator state of the United Kingdom is plainly saying it is going to force sodomites upon the house of God. Did you ever think you'd see the day when they would put it in black and white? Did you know back in the Old Testament, you've heard of good King Josiah? He was a man who reformed the people of God and brought them back to obeying the word of God. Listen to what it says in the book of 2 Kings. It says concerning Josiah and his reforms, 2 Kings 23. Just what do you hear this? Verses 5 to 7. I'll read it to you. Here's the reforms. He put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places around Jerusalem, them also that burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and the planets, and to all the host of heaven. He brought out the grove from the house of the Lord in Jerusalem to the brook of Kidron. The grove was a means of worshipping Baal, or Ashtaroth, sorry. He took it out to the brook of Kidron, it was in the temple, and burned it at the brook of Kidron, and stamped it into small powder, and cast it on the graves of the children of the people. And he break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Now all the commentators say it doesn't, that word "by" is not there. The sodomites in Josiah's day had apartments in the house of God. And the reformation under Josiah was the removal of sodomy from the church or the house of God. Reformation is not the employing of sodomites. Our nation is a reproach, and we see this reproach in the area of state dictatorship, in the area of church. Let me go a little bit further. We see it. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. We see it in the area of home and family. The British state is now poking its nose into family matters. It wants to bring in legislation to restrain homeschooling. Did you know that the state has no legal right to educate your children. None. Doesn't have any legal right under British law. There are a minimum of 50,000 children in the UK who are schooled at home. And the standard of home schooling is far higher than state schooling. Many people that do homeschooling, I would say most people that do homeschooling, are Christians. They have marvellous syllabuses that teach in a logical way rather than the scatty way that modern education does so. But here's the headline now. Government to clamp down on homeschooling families. Homeschooling families are to face visits from their local authority to ensure they are providing what the government defines as suitable and efficient education. What does our government define as suitable education? Perversion. Parents who fail to register or provide inadequate and false information will be guilty of criminal offence. Fiona Nicholson of the support group Education Otherwise said, if they introduce a registration system, it would completely shift the balance of power. The state is coming into family life and trying to regulate it. It is an extraordinary invasion of family. Norman Wales of the Family Education Trust said, in accepting the recommendations of this report, the government is signalling its intention to introduce an unprecedented level of intrusion into the family. The plan to allow local authorities routine access to the homes of children who are educated outside school shows a fundamental distrust of parents. If the government gets its way, homeschool children will be subjected to a far greater degree of state surveillance than children receive at school. And on it goes. It says a lot more than that. But what ultimately they do want to do, it says, let me read the last bit. The Guardian education blogger Finn says, the introduction of compulsory register and a minimum standards for home educators would remove from parents the responsibility for how their children are educated. For many, without the freedom to learn autonomously, the very reason for home education will cease to exist. Let's hope we don't end up with a situation like that in Germany, where the ban on home education means, for many parents, the only option is to emigrate. In Germany, it is illegal for parents to educate their children at home. So in other words, the British government, which has made an absolute mess of national education, now if you don't believe that, I advise you to go and ask some of the young fellas that have just been through it, the nonsense that's called teaching today. British government have made an absolute mess of state education, and now they want to interfere with Christian schooling and homeschooling, which has a far higher standard than they do. Restraint, men and women, on homeschooling is a very bad sign. You know that's happened before in history. Do you know what type of people start to restrain homeschooling in history? Do you know what it leads to? Do you know who brought in the law that bans homeschooling in Germany? Hitler. Stalin in Russia. The two greatest mass murderers in history. Do you know why they brought those laws in? Well, you know, if you know your history, you'll know. They wanted to ensure that the state controlled the education, so that they could indoctrinate and brainwash the children. That's what led to Hitler Youth. Control education completely by the state is a fascist, communist policy. And the United Kingdom government is taking the first step in that direction. That leads me to the next point. Under state dictatorship and interference, Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. The promotion of perversion in the classroom. Not only are the British government lovers of murderers, as we have seen in Northern Ireland, but the British government are also lovers of perverts. The sin of sodomy that is so condemned in the Bible and by the natural man's conscience is actually being promoted by the British Parliament. Sarah Brown is to march in Gay Pride 2009. It happened yesterday, by the way. The Prime Minister's wife, Sarah Brown, is planning to take part in the London Pride, Gay Pride, Dowling Street has confirmed. She will show her support for the gay and lesbian community by joining the 5,000 strong march on Saturday. For security reasons, Gordon Brown himself cannot take part, although he is planning to hold a reception at number 10 beforehand for the gay pride organisers and other gay and lesbian representatives. Mrs. Brown hopes to join the 2-week gay pride festival featuring theatre, music, debate, art and entertainment to raise awareness of discrimination and the issues and difficulties affecting the lives of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people all around the world. A Downing Street spokesman said, Sarah wanted to show her solidarity for the gay community by taking part, but because of security considerations, the Prime Minister will not be able to march himself. Mr. Brown will be showing his support at the reception on the morning of Pride. The London Mayor, Boris Johnson, is holding a reception tonight at City Hall. And the Tory party are having a fundraising event linked to Gay Pride tomorrow at the Paramount Club in central London. The Mayor and the Tories, the Conservatives, are both holding events to do with Gay Pride as well as the Prime Minister's reception at number 10. All the political phonies, the financially greedy moral sewer rats are falling over themselves to lick the boots of perverts. Now, that's what's happening, isn't it? And then you've got compulsory, graphic sex education in primary schools celebrating gay history. These are the sins of our nation. I told you last week about parents, both Christian and Muslim parents in London, are being prosecuted for withdrawing their children from 2 days of school lessons celebrating gay history. It's against the law to bring your children out of that in Britain, in London. Another quote, in addition, the homosexual lobby and their subservient friends also plan to further indoctrinate our children as young as 5 with compulsory sex education for children, promoting the gay lifestyle as normal and legitimate. 5 years old. Let me say this. They will never be educating my children in that way. It will be over my dead body and probably some of their dead bodies. That pack of moral perverts in Westminster that are deceitful liars. Never. Ralph Vanning, the Puritan, says concerning sin, take heed of the sins of your age, your country, and the places where you live. There are sins, as it were, particular to some ages and countries. When sin becomes an epidemic, it is less abstained from. for few people care to be different, when sins are, as it were, the custom and fashion in the country, most will be sinners, especially if the sin is countenanced by the example of great ones or leaders. That's what we've got. An epidemic of this so-called sin that is promoted and countenanced by all our political parties in Westminster. Promoting all the main ones, I mean. The reproach and the sin of the dictatorship of our nation intruding into schooling and into church. And then they're also dictating the morals we must have now, in thoughts and in words. You will soon not be able to even say homosexuality is wrong. You know that? They want to make saying that a criminal offence. So I'll be locked up for preaching this in the pulpit. You'll still be able to say scientists are wrong. And you'll still be able to say Christians are wrong. And you'll still even be able to say politicians are wrong. But you'll not be able to say sodomites are wrong. Because they're going to be elevated to a higher platform than everybody else. They're going to be the untouchables that you can't criticize at all. You won't be able to even talk about it. Because they're more valued in Britain than ordinary people. The homosexual lobby, it says, seems rampant at the moment. If not stopped, they are about to make it legal to even... they're about to make it illegal to even criticise homosexuals or their behaviour. This means possible criminal records and even prison sentences if the free speech clause is not included. This is hard to believe in a country like Britain, but possible prison sentences are just around the corner. End of quote. The state will dictate what we are allowed to say and what we are not allowed to say. If that's not dictatorship, I don't know what is. The Home Secretary of the United Kingdom, Jackie Smith, remember the one I mentioned last week? 3 cameras and 1 camcorder in 3 years, £1,600 paid by you and me. That's the one. She recently stopped a Baptist pastor coming to Britain from America because he had certain views on homosexuality. She says this, naming these people who she stopped coming in, enables people to see the sorts of unacceptable behaviour we are not willing to have in this country. Coming to this country is a privilege. We won't allow people into this country who are going to propagate the sorts of views that fundamentally go against our values. So if you're against homosexuality, you'll not be allowed into Britain. That's what she's plainly saying, our Home Secretary. In other words, we value sodomy in this country. That's our values. We value sodomy. And if you don't value sodomy, we don't want you in this country. That's what she's saying. It's unacceptable behaviour if you don't value sodomy. But of course, it is acceptable behaviour in Britain to have sodomy in public toilets and in parks. Public perversion is acceptable in Britain, of course, yes. But it's unacceptable if you have a different view. That's unacceptable behaviour. Now this is going even further and telling us what even we must think. The values we must have if we are to be welcome in this country. I was thinking, what about the millions of people who are already in the United Kingdom that have moral values that are very different
than the values of our state dictatorship. What's going to happen to them? I could go on, but I won't. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I could talk about the adoption of children placed in the care of sodomites against the wishes of the family. The family, some of the family members were willing to look after the children. The state said no, and they placed them in a sodomite home. Even though the statistics and the facts and the evidence are irrefutable, that child abuse is far more likely in a sodomite home. But the government totally ignored that and put adopted children there anyway, against the wishes of their family. And I say this and I mean this. The British government, in doing that, is guilty of child abuse. They have some cheek to talk about homeschoolers. They are guilty of child abuse in doing that. The perverse education in school, the perverse adoption system, placing children in great danger, that is real child abuse. That's enough. I'm not going to say any more about it. Our nation is a reproach. Government, dictatorship, sin. They dictate sin. You see it in church, we see it in homes, we see it in education, through the thoughts and words we're allowed to think and say, and we see it in the area of child adoption. So the series so far I've given you, and I'm going to conclude with the last point. There's another point. Our nation is no longer exalted because the righteousness that exalts a nation is gone. Our nation is a reproach because sin is a reproach to any people. And thirdly, and as a conclusion, our nation is going to hell. That's Psalm 9 and verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The word wicked means the ungodly, the guilty of sin, those that are hostile to God, shall be turned. The word means shall be cast, thrown. And it's an imperfect Hebrew, which means it's future tense. In the future, the ungodly will be thrown, cast into Sheol, is the Hebrew word, the pit, the abode of the damned. And all the nations that forget, and that is present tense, that are presently forgetting God. Individual ungodly people that are guilty of sin and hostile towards Elohim, God, will in the future, says the verse, be cast into hell, the pit of hell. But it says, and all the nations that forget God, all of them. No one can argue that the United Kingdom has not forgotten God. It has totally forgotten God. Our nation has forgotten God. And the Bible plainly says that all nations that forget God will in the future be cast into hell. Picture it. This is not exaggeration. This is going to happen. God says it in his word. Psalm 9 verse 17. You picture it. You picture the United Kingdom surrounded by a sheet of flames. The unbearable heat, the tormented screams of the people.
People will be burning like oily rags. And Jesus says it's the place where the fire is not quenched. It doesn't go out. And yet they will not die. Because it says in Revelation it is eternal death. It is the dying and the pain that goes on forever. This nation, in its current state, is destined for hell. So says the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? There will come a day, and make no mistake, when Mrs. Brown and Mr. Brown, the Prime Minister, will be burning like a bonfire. Do you believe that? They will. If they don't get converted, they will. There will come a day when David Cameron is burning like a flaming torch. There will. And the Parliament and the politicians, they'll be in the flames and they'll be screaming, "Why? How long?" Jesus says the smoke of their torment will go up forever. Forever. Why? Sin. Sin. Sin takes people to hell. The wages of sin is death. And God will just say to our government and our nation, "You promoted sin. You polluted children. You abused them with your education." You placed children in great danger. You said there was no such thing as sin. And they will all be burning, burning, burning for their sin forever. And that is what will really happen. There will come a day when it will happen. The whole nation will go to hell. It says in Revelation 14 and 10, people will be tormented in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. And the thing is this, Britain may go to hell, and it's going to go to hell, but so will you go to hell if you remain in your sin. If you remain in your sin, you'll be with Mr. Brown and Mrs. Brown. You'll be with them. You'll be with the promoters of evil. You'll be with the abusers of children. Unless you look to Jesus, who is the only Savior of men. He's the only one that has power to forgive the wretched sinfulness of the human heart. The condition, of course, is repentance from your sin and trust in Him. I have not enjoyed preaching this series, but I felt I must. The reproach of our nation. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Amen.